At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Elissa Walker-Campbell, welcome back on this Saturday morning Sports Map Radio Network, the Big East Sports Show. Did you know Progressive Insurance makes bundling home and auto so easy? And you can learn more at progressive.com. Hey, we are getting you ready for the Final Four tonight, and our coverage will continue here in Hour 1. But first, it's time to go inside the ropes. We're going to hit on some PGA news and notes. Of course, the Valero Texas Open is underway in San Antonio right now, but we're going to pack our bags and we're going to head to Austin as we have extended an invitation to visit with legendary golf instructor, the great Mr. Dave Pels. It's your first time on the show in 2022. I trust all is well with you and your family, Dave.
Hey, let's say it's going great in Austin, and it's nice to talk to you again. It's been a while.
It has, and so we're going to lead things off with the biggest news from this past week, and of course, five-time Masters champion Tiger Woods played an 18-hole practice round at Augusta this past week, and I'm just wondering, Dave, like, what is your level of excitement? Because I am confident you are as excited as so many of us golf fans.
Well, you know, this time of year, it really is. The players kind of gets my blood turning around, and then the Masters comes along, and then we roll right into the rest of the major season. So it's that time of year. I am excited. This has a possible little dent in it this year because I'm not sure Tiger's going to make it. I'll be amazed if he makes it. I mean, you know, I've broken my ankle once, and I've really smashed my foot a couple of times hard, but I've never crushed it. I've never had an injury like he had, and the feet are so important in the golf swing. I'm worried that he can, make it for four rounds at Augusta because it's so hilly. People don't realize it that, for example, the 10th hole goes down 95 feet from the tee to the drive to where the drive stops, and then it's another 20 feet down to the green. So you climb back up that hill several times, up and down, during the course. As you move around it, I don't know if he's got enough stamina. I don't know how he possibly could, but, you know, he's Tiger, so you never want to say no. But what I really hope is that he gets enough work and he gets going enough that in the next few years he can be back there at the top contending.
You are listening to The Voice. Legendary golf instructor, the great Dave Pels, is back with us at Sports Map Radio Network, the Big East Sports Show, talking about Tiger Woods, his practice round at Augusta National this past week. I just have to wonder, what do you think will be the determining factor with his decision, and what do you think the ultimate goal was at that particular practice round?
Well, I think he wanted to feel that the hills of Augusta are really difficult, and some of them are very steep, right around some of the greens. You go down over the back of a green, and, I mean, it's really testing on your ankle, the strength of your ankle. So I believe it's not really his chipping or putting or driving that's concerning him as much. I think it's the strength of the foot and the ankle, how it will be after the second, third, and into the middle of the fourth round, because to compete at the highest level, you can't have fatigue in any one part of your body, including your brain. I mean, Augusta tests every part of every player's game. So I think it's his stamina in his foot that's what concerns me. Now, of course, I haven't talked to Tiger. I'm not in his camp, so with him, but I sure wish him the best.
Well, you have certainly given us a sense of what it's like to walk, to play on Augusta's hilly terrain. I've been there myself. It is very challenging. You know, Tiger, he's a five-time winner at the Masters. Why do you think throughout the years that this course has suited his game so well and that he's just had such incredible success there?
Well, I think it's the greens at Augusta. I mean, it's not the driving. It's fairly open in the sense of you can play out of the rough in many, many areas of the course. I mean, I've seen Tiger drive it on the first hole into the ninth fairway. which is over a woods or through a woods. And he gets it back through. He can play shots when he hits bad shots. You can recover. But the greens, oh my gosh. I mean, they're
yeah.
Contours on the main course. There are contours on those greens too. And at the speed that they roll and the smoothness, the ball just, you know, nothing rolls like a ball. And it just doesn't want to stop sometimes. I mean, I've seen many, many great players that are at Augusta have to be among the best in the world even to get there. And I've seen, I can't tell you how many players chip it onto the ninth green, watch as the ball turns and goes down the green towards the hole, and then it just never stops. It goes down over the second level and the first level and then into the fairway and down the hill, and they've got a 70-yard wedge coming back to the green after their first putt. And those are the greatest players in the world, and I've seen probably 15 of them do that. It's really a difficult golf course to chip and to putt on. It's the ultimate test for short game and putting. And that's why there aren't any poor players that win at the Masters. There aren't any fluke winners. They're all great players, and they've all got to have all their game with them that week if they're going to win. I mean, it's a crowning jewel on any career. And Tiger's, he's been right there with his full game, full arsenal, and done it five times. You never know if he'll get a six, but I think Nicklaus has six, doesn't he? Who's the record?
Phil Mickelson's got, he's three times Master Champion, one in 2004, 2006, and 2010.
Well, that's another little sad point. I'm sorry he's not going to be playing this year, but he's got the short game and the putting really, really dialed in every year for that. And if he's hitting it well, he was always contending, so I'll miss him, but I'm still excited about the tournament. I mean, look at what Scottie Scheffler did last week.
You know, absolutely.
He played in Austin. He's from Dallas, but he seems to be able to call up the shot when he needs it, and his putting is so good. He makes so many putts. So I think he's a dark horse here. He can't have enough experience, really, to know this as well as the other players, but he's sure playing well. He's a threat.
Yeah, and you know, what do you think has been the key to his acceleration in 2022? How'd this 25-year-old from Dallas become the world's number one golfer, Dave?
Well, I think it's an interesting little story that it's just, I'm kind of a third party watching him. I don't know him that well, but as I saw him start out on tour, you know, he played at Texas, and Jordan Spieth left the Texas team in Austin early. His coach told him, don't go, you're not ready. And Spieth went out and just conquered the world. I mean, he just won a couple of majors, and everybody thought he was going to be the best player that's ever played. And Jordan Spieth is just such an incredible putter that he did so well that Scottie Scheffler kind of looked at him as a role model, but he started playing, and he didn't win the U.S. Open the first time. The first tournament on the PGA Tour, and he's been a good player, and he's getting better. And the second year, you know, he plays in a Ryder Cup, and I think that's what turned him around. Because,
absolutely, yes.
I mean, it didn't turn him around. What it did is it propped him up on a base of belief in his own self-belief in his own game, that he believed, look, these are the best players in the world, and I can, in fact, beat them. In fact, if one-on-one, I think I can beat every one of them. So with that belief, I think he started this season, and he's just showing it. I mean, three wins and a lot of the season still out there. So the major portions, he's going to be a factor. And I love him. I love his attitude. He's a nice man. I think it's good for the game. I think it's going to work in reverse, because in truth, I think as Scheffler plays better, I think Spieth is going to play better. And so those Texas boys are going to be a factor.
Yeah, and what I hear you saying is you kind of like his chances at Augusta when we talk about Scottie Scheffler. I mean, he's had three wins in his last five starts. And you know what that tells me, Dave, is that, you know, he can adapt to any situation. He can adapt to any course across the country.
Listen, did you see, I don't know if you watched Liddell, but he's playing a great player, Dustin Johnson.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And he's playing wonderfully. Everything's going well. Well, the mm-hmm. game's easy when it's going well. But then Dustin Johnson wins four holes in a row. Scotty goes from five up with seven to go. He's now one up with three to go. Now, Dustin Johnson hits a 320-yard drive, perfect in the fairway. And what does Scheffler do? Hits a 330. So Dustin Johnson hits it up. He's in a bunker, but he's only 30 feet from the hole. And what does Scotty do after losing four holes in a row? He missed the hole by an inch with a 3-iron.
Yep.
Now, that from 270 yards, that's unbelievable. And then he knocks the play, rolls about 8 feet by, and he knocks it in. And he wins. How do you beat Dustin Johnson head-to-head when you're as young as Scotty Scheffler? Well, you've got to have something inside that says, I can do this. I really believe I can do this. And I think he's got that. He's got that it. And you know Spieth has it. I mean, he's proven it. So this Masters is going to be so exciting. I just can't wait. After all the downtime we've had with COVID and the negative news, I'm just sick of it. I'm ready for some good golf here, and I'm looking forward to next week.
He is the ultimate short game guru. We're talking with Dave Pell's legendary golf instructor, who is joining us this morning. Exclusive interview at Sports Map Radio Network, the Big East Sports Show. The Valero Texas Open, it is underway. And I just have to wonder, how does playing TPC San Antonio at the Oaks course, how does that prepare you for the Masters? And one thing, listen, my boys have played a lot of hill country golf. It's not easy, Dave.
You're right. Well, you know, it can be windy, which makes it really, really tough if it gets windy. And they have the greens in great condition. I mean, if they had bad greens, I don't think anybody would play down there the week before the Masters. But there are a lot of good players there, because when you have to figure out those putts, you're not going to have a lot of short putts. The courses aren't, the greens aren't built to funnel balls towards the hole. And that's similar to Augusta. You know, you've got to hit great shots to get short putts at Augusta. And that's what I think the attraction is. It's the difficulty, it's the competition, and it's the speed of the greens and the smoothness of the greens that attracts people there. So I think it's always a great tournament.
The countdown is on for the 2022 Masters, and I just have to wonder, how does one prepare mentally? You're talking about the short game, the greens. How do you prepare mentally for the Masters? What's some of the advice through the years that, you know, you've given your client, Phil Mickelson? Because how do you prevail on the world's greatest, you know, this is one of the world's greatest courses?
Well, I know for Phil, in the past, we worked a lot on really the delicate wedge shots, the little bump and runs, putting from off the green, and putting itself. He has a green in his backyard. You know, I have 8 greens in my backyard.
And you do.
He used to play the Dell here, and every morning he'd be up at 6 and working on his short game until about 10. Then he'd drive to the golf course. So that's the week before the Masters. Patrick Reed was here for 2 days, solid days. When we're talking in the spring, you know, 10, 12-hour days out in my backyard working on his wedge game. And Patrick was here in 2018 and then left here, went to Augusta. Well, stopped in Houston at the house on Saturday and went to Augusta on the Sunday before and won the tournament. And when you don't make any bogeys at Augusta and you're putting well and you're a great player, which they all are there, pretty good ball strikers, you've got to have control of your short game and your putting, and your putting touch has to be great. The green in Phil's backyard, he keeps rolling at between 14 and 15 feet of green speed, so that when he gets to Augusta, the greens are a little bit slower than he's prepared for, and everybody else is worrying about how fast they are, and he's just trying to get the ball to the hole, and it's worked very well in the past. I'm sorry he won't be there this year, but we're still going to have a great tournament. The game is in good shape, and it's moving forward. I'm probably going to have a hard time sleeping. I've got a 20-foot screen in my media room.
Yeah.
I do all my video editing there, and I just can't wait to sit in front of that. The players are as big as I am on the TV screen, and you know Augusta's quality of TV is so good. They broadcast in 4K. And their picture is the best you'll ever get.
Yes.
I mean, if you happen to have a 4K TV, boy, it's just an unbelievable picture. It's not like being there, but it's the next best thing.
Legendary golf instructor Dave Pell's with us just a few more minutes at Sports Map Radio Network, the Big E Sports Show. If you are just joining us and missed any of our interview, you can, twice is nice, right? Go back and listen to podcastarena.com. Our entire interview with Dave Pell's will be there. And, you know, Dave, I mentioned in the open, you're just outside Austin, Texas in Dripping Springs. We've seen so many of your videos online of your famous backyard. You truly are living the dream. So tell us the inspiration about it. I mean, like, how did you build it? How long did it take? I mean, it's the ultimate backyard.
Well, the Wall Street Journal did, they heard about it, and they came and they photographed it, and they named it the world's greatest backyard for a golfer. It's I think it's better than Phil's or Tiger's or any of the great players, because I have everything inside of 100 yards, and then I have a 400-yard driving range that, of course, I can't sniff the back end of that, but it's really nice. I can hit any shot in golf here. And there's no maintenance, Elisa. It's, you know, I don't water it. I don't cut it. It's always perfect.
Yeah.
In fact, when we stop this interview, I'll probably go out and hit a few wedge shots just to feel good about it. Because we have good weather in Austin most of the year. There are probably about 10 or 15 days that I really don't want to be out there. But most of the time, it's good weather. And it's a great place to live. I don't live on a golf course. I live on golf.
Yeah.
So I can just step out in my skivvies. We've got 24 and a quarter acres here. I can enjoy the game at any moment. I never lose any balls. I never have any penalty shots. I hit them in the water a lot, but because I've got really tight pin positions here. But I don't suffer with the penalties because they're my rules, you know.
That's right. Well, Dave, it has truly been such an incredible ride for you. I mean, you're a renowned coach, a legend in the business. Take us back. You know, when did you fall in love with the game? What's your story?
Well, my dad was a bit of a golfer, and he was shot in the mid-70s. And I wanted to be with my dad, and I went out to the course with him. And it was Boiling Springs Country Club in Lexington, Kentucky. I was not allowed on the course. I was young. But he would leave me on the putting green, and I was allowed to putt if I behaved myself, which I did. And so that was 4.5 hours of putting and short game practice. But I got to love the game. I played my first tournament when I was 7. I shot about 150, and I was in the 5th flight. But I was competing with this elderly gentleman, and the thing that really turned me, I mean, this may not be the instance that it happened, but I do one thing I remember from my youth. I am 7 years old. I play a man that's 77 years old. And, you know, neither one of us can play worth a lick. But we sure did compete. And at the end of it, we're shaking hands, and there happens to be a photographer, a reporter there, and we were in the newspaper. My picture was in the newspaper. I looked up at this real tall guy, and we're shaking hands. And they said, 70 versus 77, what a game. And that was my start. I thought I was a hero. I thought I was going to be the greatest player on earth. Now, I fell a little short. There are a few guys that were better than I have ever been. But I surely have enjoyed the ride and trying to be among the best in the world. And then getting to work with among the best in the world and tell them how they can improve. It's been so much fun because golfers are nice. I mean, if you're a golfer, that's what Harvey Pinnick used to say, if you're a golfer, you're my friend.
Yeah.
And that's the way it is in golf, and I love it.
You know, Dave, you reflect on your memories with your dad, but how cool is it to get to work with your son? He is the Big E, Eddie.
He's unbelievable. He has traveled with me pretty much over the world. He's seen the golf courses.
Wonderful.
He's a friend of all the players. The players among them joke about what a good guy he is. Nobody doesn't like Eddie Pell's. He's just a really, really good person. I would put him in the category of the finest man I've ever met. So I'm very proud to be working with him.
Well, we have you on the program this morning. Obviously, short game, it is such a huge part of the game. You know, what does influence your golf score the most? And how much, you know, what percentage of time should you be spending and dedicate to your short game and to your putting?
Well, it's, you know, putting is almost half the game. You do a lot of it. But to me, it's not the most important because half of those putts are inside of 6 feet. And so if you just practice inside of 6 feet, you're going to be a pretty good putter. And then lag putting, I mean, pretty much everything outside of 10 feet you're not going to one putt because the greens are too complex to know where to aim it to make it. So you practice your lag putting and your short putting. But the most important part of your game, if you're going to want to score, is the wedge game. You hit 7 to 10 wedges every round. I mean, every golfer does. The pros hit 7 to 10. Amateurs sometimes hit 15, 16, 17, 18 wedges because they don't hit any greens with their long irons. They're always chipping and pitching the ball to the green. And if you can get that ball to stop in what we call the golden 8 feet, you know, everybody makes all their two-footers. Nobody makes very many of their 10-footers. So the distance between 2 and 10 feet, that's what you're aiming for. And if you can get it to 5 feet, well, you'll make it way more than half the time. If you get it to 4 feet, oh, my gosh, 3 feet, a lot of people make almost all of them, high 90%. So it's the pitching, it's that wedge shot that turns 3 shots into 2 that determines, in large part, most golfers' scores.
So what's some advice you could give as far as some of the biggest mistakes that folks make with their chip and their pitch shots?
Well, if you'll allow me to say this, obviously it's a joke, but they haven't come to our schools yet.
Okay.
In schools around the country,
yep.
And they're only short game and putting. We don't talk about the full swing, even mention it. You never hit a drive in the school. You spend 3 straight days working on your short game and your putting. And we indoctrinate the importance of it, how to do it, how to practice it, how to get better at it, even when you're at home, either on your home course practice area, putting greens, or in your backyard. Now, I built my backyard. The reason for it was to show golfers what you could do in your backyard to improve your game. I mean, my philosophy is practice Monday through Friday, afternoon and evenings in your own backyard, and then go score better than you've ever scored on Saturday and Sunday. Enjoy the game. Play it on the weekends. Practice during the week in your backyard, and you'll be the best you can be, depending on your own golf swing.
Yeah. What a great segue as we wrap up our interview with legendary golf instructor, that is Dave Pels. Pels Golf is offering summer golf schools at the following locations. I got to mark this down. PGA National in West Palm Beach. What an awesome facility. Where can some of our listeners, where can they go to find out more information, Dave?
PelsGolf.com. It's one word, PelsGolf.com. Everything is there. Grand Traverse Resort in Michigan, Chateau Alain in Atlanta, Centennial, New York, Killeen Castle, Dublin, Ireland. It's pretty much all over. And so just go to PelsGolf.com and come and see us. You'll have a good time and your game will get better.
Absolutely. You've been listening to The Voice, legendary golf instructor. He is simply the best. Pels.com, P-E-L-Z, golf.com. Check him out. Dave, thank you so much for joining us on this Saturday morning. We'll connect again real soon.
Lisa, you're the best. Love being with you. Thank
Absolutely. You. Take care. Much more coming your way. The fastest 2 hours in radio. That is Sports Map Radio Network, the Big E Sports Show. Come on back.